A farmer's time is valuable. That's why Blaine's Farm and Fleet has made shopping for your must-haves quick and easy. Simply order online at farmandfleet.com and pick up your items in just 1 hour in their convenient drive-thru. Or try Farm and Fleet's same-day local delivery option. We're continuing our celebration of Century and Sesquicentennial Farms and Homes across the state of Wisconsin in 2023, brought to you courtesy of Compure Financial. Today, we're heading towards northeast Wisconsin, just outside of Green Bay, to visit with Carol O'Rourke Shevers. She is the gal that remembers it all from when she was a little girl. Her grandparents made their way from the Netherlands to the Wisconsin area. Carol, thanks for taking the time to join us. Tell me a little bit about how your farm got started. Tell me a little bit about who purchased it, where they came from, and maybe how it looked initially.
Okay. I never knew my grandparents. They were both deceased before I was born, basically. But they arrived here in 1914, and they came from Holland. My great-uncle was a Norbertine priest, and he had come ahead of them. And, of course, the Norbertine Abbey is in De Pere. And my understanding is that he had something to do with the place they chose to live because of the proximity to the Norbertines. My father always had a close relationship with the Norbertines because his uncle took over that fathering role for him once my grandfather died. Sure. My grandfather died in 1921, so Dad was just a little short of 11 years old when he died. Mm. And so he never spoke much about his father because I don't think he had a lot of memories of him.
Right.
I know that part of the land, they had to clear part of the land, and they started out as dairy farmers. And we have records that show Grandpa bought cattle in 1915, 1916, about that time. Mm-hmm. So shortly after they got here, he started milking cows.
Sure.
As I said, he got sick and he died in 1921. So my grandmother kept the land. She remarried shortly after, within a year or so, she remarried. She married a widower with a couple of kids, and they lived here for a while. But they then moved to town, and my grandmother rented out the land, as far as we know. Uh-huh. But they held on to it.
Okay. Yeah, so the dairy ceased to operate at that time, I assume?
I don't really know. I was born in 1952, so there weren't a lot of relatives who talked a lot about what had happened in those intervening years.
Sure.
I spoke to my older brother yesterday, and he didn't have any memory of it.
Yeah.
So he didn't know what really went on for those years. I suspect one of my dad's stepbrothers might have been here. Mm-hmm. They might have stayed when my grandmother moved to town. So
the bottom line is you still have it. And that's the real feat after all of those challenges, isn't it?
Exactly. It is. In 1942, my grandmother offered the farm. She had three children. And she said if somebody wanted it, they had to buy the other two out. And so my dad and mom were married by that time. They were expecting their first child. And so they opted to come back here. And Dad went full bore into a dairy.
Sure.
At that time, 1942.
How many were they milking in 1942? Tell me a little bit about what the farm looked like.
Well, I know they didn't have electricity, and they did not have plumbing in the house. I suspect my mother moved quickly on that because she was a city girl. And again, my brothers don't have a lot of memory of that. They were very young children. By the time my sister was born in 48, they had electricity and they had plumbing.
And like you said, Mom would get on that if she was accustomed to that from town. So
yes, absolutely.
So
she had to adapt.
Yes, as many have. So then they were dairying. How long? Tell me a little bit more about how that all progressed, Carol.
Okay, that was the farm that I knew, a dairy farm. When I was a young child, my dad was milking about probably 25, 30 head.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually got to be a little bit more, maybe in the early 70s, up to 40 mm-hmm. head. My dad also always had extra crops. You know, he cropped, my memory of him is that he raised crops that weren't necessarily for the cattle, like buckwheat. And he also raised sweet corn.
Sure.
and had contracts with canning companies to supplement the income from the dairy.
Nice.
I was number 7 of 8 children, so he had a lot of mouths to feed.
Wow.
And so that's how they generated extra income. They had the milk, and they had the contracts with canning companies and things like that.
Sure.
That they grew.
Sure.
And I can still remember him raising sweet corn for canning companies in Green Bay and also peas.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were a lot of canning companies around.
That's right. Yes, that's exactly right. Now, tell me a little bit about the neighborhood, Carol. Do you remember? I mean, Oneida, just west of Green Bay, has changed a lot over the past couple decades. Tell me a little bit about what you remember from the neighborhood.
Oh, I grew up in the 50s and the 60s. Everyone around here were farmers, and they all were all dairy farmers. And all of them had, Dad was probably a larger farmer with the 35 cows. You know, I remember the neighbors never had that many, but they all milked cows, all had pretty good-sized families for the most part. I remember also that they all worked together. Mm-hmm. I remember very clearly that when I was about 4 years old, this would have been the late 50s, mid-50s, they came and built a shed. You know, the neighbors helped each other build sheds and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things I do remember. They shared equipment. You know, Dad would clean grains, oats, so that he could sell it to them for seed, and and in turn, they'd come and help him bale and things like that.
Right,
so,
right.
There's a lot of cooperation.
What do you think your dad would have been most proud of if he was telling this story, Carol? Like you said, obviously a gentleman that was paying attention to details when it came to making sure everybody got fed. What do you think he'd be most proud of?
I think he'd be very proud of the fact that we're still here, because many of the neighbors have sold off or they've retained the land but rented out. Our immediate neighbors are still, you know, the ones I grew up with are still here. But they no longer farm the land themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Other people do. I think he would be very proud that I still live in the house I was raised in, and that I hope to pass that on to Patty.
Right.
I think that he would be proud that we were all successful. One of the things he was very keen on was that we all be educated, and so half of us got college degrees, and the others. All my siblings had very successful careers, whether they went to college or not.
Right.
And I think he'd be proud of the grandchildren that he knew, but not well, because he died in 88.
So,
think he'd be proud of all of that.
Indeed. Tell me a little bit about technology on the farm, Carol. You know, if he was milking 35 or so cows, do you remember how he was milking those cows? Like you said early on, no electricity meant that there had to be a transition as far as technology, maybe even from horses to tractors. Or tell me what you grew up and remember.
Oh, well, I know Dad hated horses. And so when they came back out here in 42, he bought gas equipment, tractors and so on.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't like horses. I don't know if it was some childhood event or something, but he had no use for horses. And so he made the transition to tractors and as modern equipment as he could afford as soon as they came out here. I remember, I think they had a gas pump or something for milking.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And Dad always, you know, I started being aware of that in the 50s, that he was always aware of cleanliness and about keeping a high grade for the milk.
Right, yep.
So we always AAA or whatever milk that was essential to him.
Sure.
And so he put in coolers, got away from cans as soon as he could, and used a cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And we milked with the old Surge milkers, you know.
Oh, of course. I remember them well.
Yeah, because my brothers were all older and started to leave. We girls had to step in. There were 4 boys and then 4 girls, and so we girls had to step in. And I started milking cows when I was in about 6th grade, and I milked day and night until I went off to college.
Do you remember, out of curiosity, do you remember where the milk went, where it was shipped to?
Morning Glory.
Okay.
Yes. Remember that name?
I do. See,
Consolidated.
That's just it. You and I remember those names. A lot of other people listening may not, but that's again, a sign of resilience that you're sticking around when some of these other companies have already merged. What else? Any special events or activities that you remember on the farm, Carol, even since you've kind of acquired some of the farm back?
Well, I have to say that I'm very proud of the fact that my husband and I were married here in the backyard. Almost 20 years ago, and I think Patty's going to be married here in July, my niece.
Nice.
And so that's the one thing that comes up. We had family reunions here. Occasionally, when my parents were alive, Mom came from a very large family, and she'd invite them all out, and we would have barbecues here. When I was a kid. The one tragic event, of course, is that. Well, not so tragic is that both of my parents died here when they had terminal illnesses, and we brought them home, and they died here, which is what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my brother was killed in a farm accident in 1997.
Oh.
So that's part of this story as well.
Right, right, right. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Carol O'Rourke Shevers. She is just outside of Green Bay in Oneida, where they're celebrating more than 100 years of ownership of this farm. Now, let's talk about the next generation, Carol, because you mentioned that you have very, very consciously trying to be making plans to keep the land in the family, at least to a certain extent. Tell me about the plans.
Well, my niece, Patty, who is my brother's daughter, also grew up on this farm, and she lives next door. And as I said, she and her fiance are going to be married in about a month or so. She had a lot of great plans, and well, let me step back a little bit. My sister-in-law, after my brother's death, rented the land out, and then when Patty and her mother made some arrangements for the future, Patty decided that the best course was to put the land into a conservation program, a restoration program. And so it was last planted in traditional crops about, I think we're into the fourth year now. And she and her partner planted wildflowers and prairie and a couple of thousand trees on the property. Mm-hmm. And they did some scrapes so that wildlife will be attracted. We have geese on the pond outside our window here, all because she made the decision to put it into a conservation program instead of trying to make a living off the farm.
Sure, sure. Well, and like we said, it's still in the family, and
it's doing
good for not only nature but for the community. Have you mm-hmm. heard from any of those neighbors now that you're stepping up to get the century recognition, or any comments about the prairie restoration? How do they think about that?
Well, well, they're not all thrilled necessarily with the dandelions, but they're gone now. So, and you know, I think that people like to see that the land isn't being developed.
Right. Yes.
That it's not going to be. At least for the foreseeable future, it's not going to be a housing development or commercial development.
Right.
So I think that's they're pleased about that.
Excellent. Again, Carol O'Rourke Shevers along with us. Their farm has been in that family for more than 100 years. She's just outside of Green Bay, about 7 miles in the community of Oneida. Just one of the century farms and homes that we'll be recognizing during the 2023 Wisconsin State Fair. You can find out more about these stories and listen to others online at MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click under the Century Sesquicentennial Farm tabs. Again, these stories all made possible courtesy of our friends from Compure Financial. I'm Pam Yonke.